This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
Hey, welcome to the show at 10:06. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And later today, we'll podcast your show at usfdracing.org. Thanks to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway for sponsoring the show. Big show today with Tim Bryant. He's preparing us for the Rusty Wallace driving experience happening today at Five Flag Speedway. And then right afterwards, they're having a huge drifting event and Base Wars competition. $50 to slide your car, just $10 to get in. And if you've never been, trust me, you're really going to enjoy that. Also, we're getting ready for a big race coming up next Friday, the first Blizzard Series race with the super late models at Five Flag Speedway, Pro Trucks, and again, we'll have the Sportsmen and Bombers as well. Now, there's a lot of stuff in the news, unfortunately, about fire safety. That old argument of fire protection's back in the spotlight after a loss of a driver in Ohio, where many people say that the track officials could be to blame. Late model was engulfed in a fire, flipped upside down, and unfortunately took over 4 minutes for them to get him out after the fire was taken out. A lot of fuel spilled out. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, have some safety folks on from racetracks. And again, NASCAR news, how about Carl Edwards? See if he can do it again in Richmond Saturday. The Xfinity race, that's going to be at the 250, and then also the Sunday, the Toyota Owners 400. So lots of stuff going on. And then this is the circus for the weekend. I've got NASCAR Ron on the show in Flemington. And hey, NASCAR Ron, welcome back to the show. You have probably one of the most anticipated races along the Gulf Coast this weekend, the school buses.
Well, it's definitely drawn a lot of attention. You know, racetracks get into the speculations of adding numbers to their so-called grandstand counts and everything, and I'm always been the type of person that I'm always up front with my numbers whenever it comes to speculations on numbers. I'm by the book. And last year, our record crowd for a school bus race was 1,455 paid adults.
Oh, my gosh.
This year, Kane, I'm hoping to break that. I tell y'all what, Flemington Speedway can only sit about 750 paid adults.
Whoa.
Yeah, and that's arm to arm. And I mean, that's sitting right on top of one another. But, you know, we're excited about it. We actually going to help raise a little bit of money for the Shriners Hospital.
Sweet.
The actual money that we raise in on the bus race, the drivers are going to pass their helmets, and all that money there will determine the highest one that raises the most money will actually be the pole man to set the pole for the bus race.
I love that.
And yeah, oh yeah. And Mr. Howard Holmes is one of our local Shriners, and he takes a lot of different folks to the Shriners Hospital. He just took a kid from Flemington to the Shriners Hospital. So, you know, we love to be active and involved with the community as far as taking in money for the Shriners Hospital. So, not only are you actually coming to the bus race, you actually supporting the Shriners if you want to get involved in that. That's always a good thing to help the kids that need your help.
Yeah, and Flemington's found at 913 Highway 113 at Flemington Speedway. And that, as if that's not enough for you guys to go check out the racing, it's a little dirt bull ring built in the 50s. And tonight, you've also got, I mean, a full lineup. The school buses are awesome, but you've also got the late models, the street stocks, the pure stocks, bringing back the mini sprints, the tuners. And again, I love seeing the new class. I think you've got some great photos up on the website. People are really talking about the slingshots at Flemington Speedway. Again, NASCAR Ron, tell us what these awesome little cars are.
I tell you what, these slingshots are taking off. You know, we've been on the phone this past week with several different other folks calling in. Had a gentleman up in North Alabama supposed to purchase one of these hopefully this weekend. So, I mean, these things are just awesome. You know, it's not only for kids. Actual adults, a full-size man can get in these things. So, I mean, when you talk about affordable,
yeah.
Now this is actually affordable motorsports. You know, golf cart tires.
Yeah.
Golf cart tires run about $55. They claim you can get a whole race deal, a whole season out of these tires on these things.
Wow.
And. Yeah, and then a body, if you tear the body up, Kane,
mm-hmm.
if you tear the body slam out of compulsion, you can actually get a brand new body sent to your front doorsteps for $500. That's
wow.
creased and everything.
Wow. And yeah. the thing is on your Facebook page, look up Flemington Speedway from last weekend, a great picture from Victory Lane. Here's a kid in his blue and yellow and, blue and black driver suit number 34, and he's got his young kid crew chief next to him. I mean, it's really cool. You're really starting off these young drivers, and you know, dirt is addicting. That's what I always tell people.
The little Gibson boy has
yeah.
been on fire. He's been the dominating driver so far. Dylan Hamilton from Pensacola has been right there, and Wendy's last name, but Wendy is running the 53. She's one of our female drivers, and she's been right there neck and neck. And we had some sparks last weekend. A couple of them got into one another going down
Uh-oh.
Into turn one down there, and they rubbed bars with one another and made some sparks fly off. So, you know, you know, we love to see sparks fly when it comes to racing, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, like I said, this track, tell us a little bit of history of Flemington. It's not a big track. It's a racer's track, as I call it.
Well, the Flemington Speedway, you get different speculations when you talk to the elderly, so-called older people or elderly people, as you would say, with respect. they claim the track's been around since 1958, and then you got some of them said, no, that was back in 57. I said, well.
In that area.
But, yeah, it gets entertaining. And they had old poles in the ground around the track back years ago, and then you went from having old fence posts like in the ground to having put guardrail around the racetrack, and then we winded up going with the concrete wall now that we got all the way around the racetrack. So it's been different things and different owners that actually has run that racetrack. You had the Mercers, Becky Mercer and Frank Mercer run the thing for years, and then you had Ray Thomas and Joe Wallace that run it, and golly, I've worked for just about every one of those.
don't age yourself there, Ron. Well, let me ask you, how can we find the track? I know a lot of people are not familiar how to get there off the interstate, so tell us what's the best way to get to Flemington Speedway, because you guys have to get there early tonight.
Yes, you got to, because I recommend y'all, if y'all coming on in, for you to come on in around 6:30 if you're going to get a good parking spot. But if you're coming down I-65, coming from Mobile, Alabama, y'all get off at exit 69, take exit 69, stay to the right, and you continue down 113, and we're on the right, just inside the Flemington city limits. If you're on your way from 29 in Carr City, coming from Pensacola, just follow 29, Highway 29, dead ends in Flemington, Alabama, and you'll be at 31. You turn right on Highway 31, and it takes you up to the top of the hill. That's what I call it. Just go to the top of the hill. And when you get to the top of the hill, there's two convenience stores. We won't go into the advertisement, giving them any plugs. But there's two. There's two convenience stores on the top of the hill on your left side of the road at the red light. You turn left. That's Highway 113. You get on 113. After you turn left, you go not even a half a mile down on the left. There's a big old church, a Little Scammon Baptist Church. A good people there at Little Scammon Baptist Church. The pastor comes out and does an invocation for us. Y'all turn right beside his church. Stay on that little asphalt road and just follow it till it dead ends, and you'll run right into the racetrack.
Yeah, and of course, and you can find them on Facebook, Twitter. Also, of course, you're on Instagram and YouTube. Go to FlemingtonSpeedway.com. And again, tonight, school bus racing. You've got the late models, street stocks, and pure stocks, the mini sprints, slingshots, and tuners. Gates open at 4, racing at 8. I'm sure you're on the way now. NASCAR Ron, thank you, brother. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, Kane, we always enjoy talking with you. We appreciate everything you do in the world of racing. We say that every time we're on the show with you, and I know a lot of folks love to hear that, and it means a lot to the racetracks what you do.
Well, I appreciate that, NASCAR Ron. All for the fans, and again, it's going to be a great night at Flemington Speedway. Still to come, going to talk about NASCAR. Also, again, fire safety. We had one of our own racers in Ohio that lost his life in a fire, so some people are throwing blame around already. It just happened last week. Maybe the gas tank wasn't properly installed. Maybe they should have different safety equipment. Maybe it was the track officials and the fire crew there that didn't get there in time. There's lots of ifs. So how can you protect yourself as a racetrack owner, as a fan, as a race car driver, and a team? We'll find out this morning on Full Throttle Racing with Kane. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, brought to you by amazing sponsors like Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway. And again, a lot of going on with NASCAR today. Going to be at Richmond, and they've got the Xfinity Series. It's the Toyota Care 250. Tomorrow, the Toyota Owners 400. We'll talk about the latest going on there. And again, Tim Bryan joining us with Five Flag Speedway. I would usually call this an off weekend, but it's the furthest thing from it at the track today. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Kane. Yeah, it's definitely a busy day today. We've got the Rusty Wallace Racing Experience in the house this morning, and a great opportunity for people to come out and get the thrill of their life with either a ride with one of our local professional race drivers or actually drive the car. And all the information, of course, they can retrieve at racewithrusty.com this afternoon. And we're gonna do an about face at 3 o'clock, doing the Rusty Wallace Racing Experience is over with. We're going to reopen the gates for the Mountain Dew Drift Series, and we're looking forward to that tonight.
You know, when we first started this Mountain Dew Drifting Series at the track, it was amazing to see, you know, you had a few cars out there. You have fans that come from Panama City that camp out and record it all. You've got drones recording it. I mean, this is one of the neatest events away from the oval track that you're going to see as far as racing that happens at the track. And it is a form of racing.
Well, I tell you, it's turned into something really cool, and certainly it's an activity for our track. It's not a huge event. We don't even open the grandstands for folks that have never been. Everybody goes in the infield. They park up on the banking. It's kind of a gigantic tailgate party, if you would. You know, when the last event, I think we had 40-plus cars that were sliding, and it's just that. It's just an opportunity for guys to take these street-legal, hot-rodded import cars and put them on some pavement and put the hammer down and slide them sideways and smoke the tires and not have to worry about the blue light in the mirror.
Well, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Let's talk about what's going on next Friday, the 29th, the Deep South Crane Blizzard Series, race number one of the season with the super late models. And this is going to attract a lot of folks from all over the country.
Man, super late model racing is just very exciting this year. It'll be also race number three in the Southern Super Series presented by Sunoco, and as you mentioned, the opener for our Blizzard Series, which is a four race mini series right here at Five Flags. And you know, we've already got a good field of entries in. Harrison Burton will be coming back. Todd Gilliland will be here driving a Kyle Busch Motorsports car. A stellar field. Casey Smith, last year's Southern Super Series champion, and Casey Roderick, last year's Blizzard Series champion. So, you know, all the heavy hitters will be here, and it's going to be a heck of a show. Plus, we're going to have the Pro Trucks back, an extended distance race for the Pro Trucks, and then topping it off with Sportsmen and Bombers. It should be a good night next Friday.
I have been blown away, and so have the fans, about the turnout with the Pro Trucks just in the past 2 years. It's really blossomed from just a few trucks along the Gulf Coast to, I mean, you're having trucks come in from the Carolinas when you race them on a Friday night. You've got them coming from Texas, from Georgia. I mean, four or five states represented. And who would have thought that would happen when the truck series started? But it's one of the funnest classes to watch, too.
Well, you know what, it really is, and I wish I could put my finger on why the division is so popular, but Look, it's no secret that asphalt racing is somewhat fragmented. There's too many divisions, we all agree on that, but here's a division that, and hey, look, racers like to race against lots of competition,
yes.
So, you know, it just kind of blossomed, and I'm not sure if it really is a reason why, but it just sort of snowballed. I hate to use that word too much, but it did, and so anyway, it's really turned into a bright spot for us, and we're seeing more guys drift from other divisions over into the pro trucks, and who knows what evolution will bring. It may mean the elimination of a division or two out here, which at the end of the day, as long as a person can go out there and race, I mean, that's what we want for them. So we're extremely happy with the way the Pro Truck Series is going. It's a very affordable class. It runs the same engine as the Sportsman Division cars. It runs the same tire as the Super Stocks and the Open Wheel Modifieds. So anyway, they're racing for fairly decent purses, and you know, right now things are really on track with the truck division.
And of course, before that Friday, the Thursday before, you'll have an open practice for the local divisions too, right?
We will. At an open practice, it'll be from 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock on Thursday night.
Well, you know, unfortunately, there's been a news story about Charlie Floyd. He was a driver of a dirt late model up in Ohio, had a fiery accident Friday and passed. And Tim, you've probably seen the news story. It's all over social media, and it's starting to spark the debate about safety again. And one thing I've noticed at your track this year, you've already had, because I've used them, you have a quick safety crew. I hate to say I've used them, but they're good. But you guys have stepped it up this year. They have helmets on. They look like they're a professional NASCAR crew. Tell me a little bit about when you have a fire at the track, which you've had. Are there certain steps? Are there certain things that are priorities when you go to try to get that, you know, that fire extinguished? What's the right way? What's the wrong way? And I know every one of these situations got to be different, Tim.
Well, you know what, it really is, and I mean, as much as we would like to completely eliminate the element of danger, it's never going to happen in motorsports, and you know, some would argue that maybe that is somewhat of the appeal to both competitors and fans. At the same time, I mean, it's imperative that we keep these drivers as safe as humanly possible, and sometimes changes are brought about on the reactive side,
right.
You know, unfortunately, and then you know, as much as we want to say that we're proactive, and we try to be if we see some areas for improvement, so a few years ago down at New Smyrna Speedway, a car caught on fire and burned up, and that kind of evolved into what we now require in all the divisions, and that's a fuel valve that goes near the gas tank that is a shut-off valve. If a car gets upside down, it shuts the flow of fuel off. Unfortunately, that particular valve wasn't on Charlie's car, just a tragic accident up there that happened last weekend. You know, in an effort to keep all our drivers safer, you know, we've added a few people to our safety crew for 2016, and, you know, we have them uniformed in fire retardant clothing, and if we need to get in to get a driver out, I mean, we've got some guys that will step up and take charge and get that done. We're very fortunate here at Five Flags and at MIS, I might say, we've got some great safety workers, most of them who are actually firefighters, and you know, for the most part, that makes our drivers feel a lot safer.
Let's talk about some of the rules for the drivers. You know, I'll start off with the bomber class, just due to the fact that that's a class I'm in for the last year, and we're going to move up to sportsman, I believe, next year. But there are certain rules. You have to have a fire suit. You can't wear jeans or anything like that. Racing shoes are preferred. Let's talk about neck restraints. I know that the Hans is not, or the next gen is not mandatory, but from a racetrack point of view, compared to just a regular neck brace, I mean, is it something to where that has to be mandatory? You hear drivers say, well, I can't afford it. Well, if you can afford fuel, you can afford tires in a $5,000-$6,000 car, what's another $500 for safety is how I look at it.
Well, I mean, you're exactly right, but at the same time, I mean, we're trying to keep this stuff affordable.
Yes.
We want to keep these drivers in tune with things that they need to do on the safety side. So with the help of Jim Downing, the inventor of the Hans device, mm-hmm. with the help of Flat Top and Bob Karcher at Bob's Speed Shop and Randy Bryant over at Bryant Racing Equipment, you know, we've actually introduced an affordable Hans device, a reduced price, if you would. We're selling those things for $500. $750, which is down from about $800 when they originally came out. Not yet a requirement, but over time, I mean, guys are getting on board. You see, you go up down pit road, you'll see more and more guys putting those on. So it is possible by as early as 2017 it may be a requirement, but we're trying to let guys do it as they could afford to. In the meantime, you know, regular neck restraints, the much more affordable type, are at least a requirement. Of course, you know, we check safety helmets, we check fire suits, gloves is a big topic. Yeah. We'll black flag a guy in practice if he doesn't have his gloves on, you know, if we see him. I mean, there's just no margin for error there, and it's simply a matter of training these guys. Most of the younger guys that have come into sport are on board. It's, you know, we don't have to retrain them, but some of the older school guys would think, you know, I've been under my car, I've been adjusting the shocks, and now I'm going to go back out and make a few laps, and they'll jump in and put the seatbelt on and go. But if they don't have those gloves on, we don't let them on the track.
Yeah, man, that's true. Well, I appreciate your input on that, just because it's all over the news again. Now, we want to talk about one more race coming up in May, and it's the return of the Modifieds of Mayhem. And they were just up at Montgomery last weekend. Looked like some beating and banging what happened on up there.
Billy Melvin ended up winning that race over Jeff Letson, who's really been the man to beat this year, a strong run for Donald Cross. Back here on May 13th at Five Flags Speedway with not one but two 40-lap feature races. It's actually a regular scheduled race on May 13th, and the makeup for the April 1st Open Wheel Mania rainout that we suffered here. So two races on that night, and that should ensure a large field of modifieds. We can't wait.
Well, gates open at what time today? 3 o'clock for the drifting. And again, if you go to racewithrusty.com or just stop by the track, I'm sure you'll be able to get a pop a ride in one of those race cars, and it's a pretty cool experience.
You sure can. The grandstands are open today if anybody wants to just come over and see what that's all about. Again, tonight, the admission is $10 to go down in the infield. The grandstands are actually closed for the drifting event. Everything happens trackside. For anybody who wants to bring their car and try sliding, it costs $50, which includes your entry, and it's loads of fun. By one more thing I might add in, Base Wars tonight. Base Wars car audio competition in conjunction with tonight's drift event. And, you know, our favorite announcer will be on, our favorite drift announcer will be on staff. I had to throw that in because other guys that may be listening.
All right, Tim Bryan from Five Flag Speedway, thanks a lot. Still to come, we're going to talk more safety and more about NASCAR. Big race this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, Xfinity and NASCAR Series in Richmond. More details coming up at Full Throttle Racing with Kane right here on FM Talk 106.5 and podcast later at usfdracing.org. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, we'll podcast the show on usfdracing.org, and that's United States Fire Department Racing. And as you know, we race to bring awareness and funds to all the fire departments, volunteer fire departments around the country and actually around the world. And it's amazing all the neat things and all the new drivers that we're starting to get from this team. Again, you're listening online. A lot of you are at fmtalk1065.com. Check it out in another window. It's usfdracing.org. And I'm excited to actually have the newest member of the team. Listen to this. A fourth generation race car driver. We'll find out. Maybe it's fifth. Who has family inducted into the Indianapolis Hall of Fame. We've got Joel Hollywood William with us, and all the way up from Central Wisconsin, man. First of all, I hate your winters. That's why I moved down south. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, absolutely. Now, we were just talking off the air. You have a colored background as far as some of the things that you've done in the past, not just through your racing, but let's talk about, first of all, you are a member of the military, so God bless you for your service. You've done work with the fire department. Give us a little bit of background of who Hollywood is.
Well, I'm a fourth generation race car driver. Mm-hmm. I got uncles in the Indianapolis Hall of Fame, but I'm also fifth generation military serviceman. We've got family, you know, like I said, carrying on the fifth generation, and we have nephews that have gone into the military as well now, and nieces. So it's our family tradition's going on. I was a U.S. Army non-combat veteran, but I was an airborne medic.
Wow.
And you know, I was in during high school. I was a volunteer firefighter for about a year and a half, I think it was. And then I moved to Indianapolis, and at that time, I became a part of a volunteer fire department down there as well.
As well as getting into racing there. Obviously, Indianapolis is the home of racing, the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500 again. And tell us about your uncle being inducted into the Hall of Fame there. That's amazing.
Yeah, my great uncle Tony Woodman. He was actually in 1934 the Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
And then it was a few years later, some years later, I think it was 1971, when he was actually inducted into the Indianapolis Hall of Fame.
Wow.
He's also part of the National Sprint Car Open Wheel Hall of Fame, National Badger Midget Hall of Fame, and then also the National Short Track Hall of Fame. And he was a mayor of South Milwaukee for a day. The claim to fame for him back in the 30s and 40s, he was actually killed up there in Connecticut in a recent accident in 1941, in Thompson, Connecticut, actually, to be correct.
Mm.
But his claim to racing fame that everybody knows him by is in 1 year, he won over 100 features.
Wow.
Of main events from coast to coast. And that was covering everything from racing out to California all the way out to New York and Connecticut.
Wow.
And claiming the indoor championships from Fort Wayne into Milwaukee, Chicago, and a couple of other places that they had indoor races at the time and back then. And he was the four-time champion.
That's amazing. Now, you have earned your ARCA and NASCAR approval. Tell us about that and the plans for what you've got going on in 2016 with USFD Racing on board.
I tell you what, you know, I was so privileged to actually have that opportunity to go to Daytona to race and to get my approval there, mm-hmm. as well as Talladega.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we did some testing down at Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
I went down to Indianapolis Raceway Park. You know, at that time it was IRP, now
oh, yeah.
as well. But it'll always be IRP to me. It's home from, you know.
Exactly. For people in Indiana, they know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, I was just so privileged to get my approval on the Super Speedways. You know, we were had a kind of an underfunded team that mm-hmm. we were working with. And on the weekend that we did it, there were 75 drivers that took the track.
Wow.
And I ended up being 32nd, I believe, on the time charts.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty happy with that. They got my approval to race all of ARCA, and then it was shortly after that that I got the letter of approval from Brett Bodine stating that I was, you know, approved from a mile and under, no Dover until we do a NASCAR event, whether it's the Camping World Truck Series or if we get fortunate enough to get into an Xfinity car.
Wow. Now, you run the number 90 car, but soon to be the number 22 is what I'm hearing. And what an amazing reason for turning that number 22. We have a car, actually two of them right now, that are number 22 in our stable as well. So tell us why the 22 is so important to you, Joel.
You know, in 2016, my plans are to run an asphalt modified mm-hmm. up here in Wisconsin. You know, it's a great series that's been going on for about 3.5 years now, and it's taken off really big again. We used mm-hmm. to have a really big series here, and then it just kind of faded away. Now it's coming back around. I've been running the number 1990 since 2006, I believe it was,
wow.
when I got it, and that's been a family number of ours.
Sure.
For years in our family, and I felt that that was a family tradition I should keep on.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2016, I'm trying to come back, and after a year off, and I figured that this is a great way to really connect what I'm trying to do with the veterans and the military,
mm-hmm.
as well as the fire department in the battle of suicide of PTSD, TBI. And we lose 22 veterans, as well as the municipality, a day to suicide.
Wow.
And we're trying to slow that down and stop that. And I think by coming out with the number 22 and changing the number, it's a new beginning for me, but it also shows the dedication that I have going on to this, the program to really make it good. So when I hit the track and people see me in the 22, it's a good connection of the program that we're doing.
You've had a lot of great luck with sponsors as well through the years and with the family name, but the success too. Tell us about your racing, and obviously you want to take it to NASCAR, and I can see what you're doing this year, but how did you get started in this?
Well, you know, I was great. You know, just blessed to have such a big family
yeah.
of ours. I mean, everybody from my aunts and uncles racing, and it was just natural for us to go to a racetrack.
Yeah.
My father was, you know, when I was born in 73 in Fort Hood, Texas, my dad was actually the very first U.S. Army drag team recruit.
Whoa, that is cool.
Yeah. So it was kind of born, you know, and then he went to go work for an IndyCar team for Eldon Rasmussen. His roommate at that time was Tony Bettenhausen, you know, so it was just natural for us to go up around the racetrack and go to the racetrack. And then, of course, aunts and uncles, my uncle Lee Stones, an amazing champion in his own right. My great uncle Bob Zinda is a national icon in the short tracks. Wow, you know, he raced and beat Dick Trickle, you know, back in the days. But, you know, these are all people that we went to the track with. And it just kind of grew up. And when I was 9 years old, I got a chance to run a three-quarter midget, a friend of mine, in down in Indianapolis, actually, and said, hey, why don't you come down to the Speedrome and, you know, come with us. So we went down to the Speedrome, and by golly, I got in that car and did really well. And I finished, I think it was fifth in my first race. And the next night we ran on Sunday night, and I won it. And so I just kind of... Yeah, it just kind of went up from there, and then I was working on Pepe's car a couple different times, and I got about 16 years old, and he said, you know, if you're willing to, I'll put you in the car. And well, I got in the car, and you know, I thought I was really, really good, and my first race was at Tri-City, Illinois. It's Granite City, Illinois, Tri-City Speedway down there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this young kid, sponsored by Pepsi. You know, there's a young little guy named Jeff Gordon was out there, and he had a, at that time it was the Pontiac V6 that he had, and we had the Volkswagen motor. And I thought I was doing really well in 25 lap race, and I got out and thought, boy, I did really good, and come to find out I was almost 9 laps down.
Gordon had it going on, huh?
He definitely did it, you know. But I mean, for my first race, I was pretty excited, and you know, I did real well, and you know, kept it on all fours and never, you know, slipped it out of the ballpark. But that happened later on down in Sun Prairie, actually, went out of the ballpark down there.
It's amazing the stories and the history. You've got Joel Hollywood William. Again, he's from Westfield, Wisconsin, and he's the newest member of USFD Racing, where we podcast the show, and it's a team website. And you've earned also, or actually worked on other teams too, like from IndyCar to ASA to IMSA and all the way up towards Hooters Pro Cup. Tell us some of the experiences there.
Yeah, I just got home from the military, to be honest. Awesome. And I was working, doing some help on a the Hoosier Motor Club, AAA. I was driving a tow truck and got a call to jumpstart a Ferrari. And so I went down, I got down there, and come to find out it was Antonio Ferrari, owner of Euro Motorsport Racing at the time. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is really cool. And, you know, we got to talk about racing, and he told me, you need to come and talk to my crew chief. And so we came, the next day I went and talked to his crew chief about, you know, possibly working in the shop. And I was hired right on the spot.
That is amazing.
Absolutely come on board. And so I became a skid plate specialist and designed skid plates and building them and putting them on the Indy cars.
Gosh.
And then that led, we later on got the Ferrari franchise for the IMSA, and that was with a 333 SP Ferrari.
Wow.
We had two teams. We had Mario Baldi, which was a Formula One test driver. And then we ended up having Giovanni Lavaggi. And then we had Jay Cochran as our U.S. driver. Well, we went to Atlanta, and we won the first time out with Jay Cochran. And that was the first time in 75 years that Ferrari won in the U.S. And it was a really big, really big win for us, and it was huge. And then it was the following year the team kind of ran into some trouble, and they closed the doors temporarily, and Frank Juicy and the Juicy Brothers, I was promoting the Milwaukee Mile at that time, he kind of turned me on to a team that he knew of up in Franklin, Wisconsin, and said, hey, why don't you come up here? You know, they're running ASA, and they have the championship driver, Brian Ruffner, on board, and, you know, just look around. So it happened that my cousin knew heading in, and I came up and talked to them, and I got hired on with them, and we did ASA with a three-time Iceman champion, Dennis Berry. And, you know, we had Steve Holzhausen at one time as our driver. And then, you know, they did some ASA and some Hooters Pro Cup stuff. And I got to put on there on some teams. And, you know, just all that led up to the opportunity to be hired by Bobby Hamilton down there in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, to work on his truck team. And I moved to Wisconsin went down there, tested with some CRA late models at that time, mm-hmm. and Bobby was pretty excited about having me on, and I came back to Wisconsin and visited, and well, I met my kids' mom, and the rest is history, and I never got the chance to work with Bobby, and it was shortly after that that he passed away from being sick, and so I just remember the opportunity of always having Bobby, you know, call me, and we talked over the phone, and it was a great opportunity for me.
Well, let me ask you, you've had a lot of experiences that a lot of young drivers have not, and we have a lot of new listeners to the show every week, and a lot of new race car drivers in this area. There's a track called Sunny South Raceway. There's another dirt track called Flemington Speedway that has the slingshots and, of course, does the Bandoleros, legend cars, and things like that. What would be the one single piece of advice you would give a young driver that's starting in our racing world today?
The best piece of advice I will give anybody that's starting to come into the sport is truly be grateful for every time that you're in that car, because you never know when you have sponsor problems or if you don't have sponsors, when you can race again. And really listen to the veterans of the sport and really, really, really pay attention to those marketing partners that are on your car.
Yes.
Because when they're giving up their time and their money to sponsor you, they believe in you. And so you owe it to them to do as much as possible for them, even to make them feel like they are a part of NASCAR on a short track.
Yeah.
Because it is how they make their money, and if they're not making money, they're not going to sponsor you or the next driver. So just keep giving back to them, and just be true to yourself, and you know, don't steer away from that. That's the best advice I could give to anybody.
Joel Hollywood William, how do we keep track of you online?
Well, you can definitely check me out. We're trying to get some new marketing partners, so my website will be updated, but you can go to joelwillmanracing.com. You can also check me out on both two different pages on Facebook, Joel Willman, and then there's Joel Willman Racing, and then also at JWHollywood90 on Twitter. I'm on the social media. I'm on LinkedIn, on Snapchat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're plugged in, aren't you? Like you got to be. Hey, I hope to see you at the 100th anniversary of the 500. I'm sneaking up there for the weekend. And if you do, too.
We're going down there, for sure.
You are going to be there? Then we're gonna hook up in Gasoline Alley, brother.
We will. Yeah, I'm going to be down there with the Heroes Media Group, it sounds like, because I do work. I do the Heroes Media Group S3 sports show.
Awesome.
So that's, I give back to media, and we'll be covering that race through that.
Well, it's awesome to have another team member of USFD Racing with us at usfdracing.org. We'll podcast the show again. Great to have Hollywood on the team. Joel Hollywood Williams. Still to come, we're going to talk about more racing, NASCAR around the corner. And again, I've got to thank my sponsors. Just like he said, if you're fortunate enough to have the sponsors, it's so important to keep them happy. And I want to welcome the Vape Shop of Pensacola, Pace, and Galpries. They are big advocates of our childhood cancer things and what we're doing at Kane's Warrior Kids. Thrilled to have them on the car for the whole season. Also, they're going to be a McDonald's, a Hatfress Corporation. Appreciate them coming on board in Cyclops Vapor. Pull Apart, and I guess if you need any kind of parts for your bomber, all the way up to a modified, they've got them at Pull Apart. Thank you to Ratty Rods of the South. Also, brand new this week, we've got national sponsor Wix Filters on with us, and you know they cover everything from NASCAR to dirt riding, so they've got your filters. K1 Race Gear, also Falsac Tires, and Metro Glass and Mobile, the Bellrose Tattoo and Piercing, are our good friend Sean Herman lost his mother this week, and we are having thoughts and prayers for his family there. And Hub Printing in Robertsdale, you might remember them. It used to be ABC Graphics. Well, they've changed the name, brand new ownership, and we're going to have them on the show as well soon. So be back shortly. It's NASCAR next. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on Evan Talk 106.5. Always brought to you by great sponsors, including Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway. And now, bringing in Matt Weaver, NASCAR expert. And Matt, this has been, we were just talking off the air, you're at Richmond this weekend. A lot of news with Tony Stewart surrounding it. Obviously, yay for all the smoke fans, he's back. And he also brings a little controversy with him. Good morning, Matt.
Oh, good morning, Kane. You know what? Tony Stewart is probably the only driver in the modern-day NASCAR who could return from a three-month-long injury and then 6 hours later elicit a $35,000 fine. So thus is how the weekend starts.
And that's it. But you know what? I tell you what. There's been a little bit of controversy, but for NASCAR penalizing Tony Stewart this week, he had comments about how NASCAR needs to maybe tighten up or stepping up their policy of that loose lug nut thing. And then NASCAR fines him $35,000 for, what are they calling it, statements detrimental to NASCAR? I mean, really?
Well, you know, there's so many layers to this deal because several drivers have spoken out against the current lug nut policy. As you know, there's 5 lug nuts on a tire, on a wheel, and because of the new pit road officiating system, NASCAR is no longer able to enforce tightening all 5. So sometimes you see 4, even 3 lug nuts being placed on these wheels, and you know, we've had a lot of guys at the pit early. There's been guys with vibrations, and drivers, to be honest with you, they just don't necessarily feel safe, and they feel like this is something the sanctioning body should do to take it out of the team's hands. I feel like what Tony Stewart said was actually a little bit more tame compared to, say, Rodney Childers or Greg Biffle, who have both spoken out against it. Both of them said basically the same thing, that NASCAR needs to take control of this situation. Otherwise, a tire could end up in the grandstand, or a driver could get hurt. And that was the opinion of Biffle and Childers, respectively. And all Tony said is that if something bad does happen, you're never going to hear a rant out of someone in the sport like you're going to hear out of me. And I think NASCAR kind of took it personal. Keep in mind, Shane, this is the same Tony Stewart who has twice personally called out Brian France for not being active in the driver sanctioning body meeting, for being not in touch with the sport. There's a part of me that wonders if maybe Tony Stewart has been the squeaky wheel for far too long and NASCAR finally gave him the grease.
Well, this is great. The newly formed Sprint Cup Drivers Council released a statement supporting the 3-time champion, pretty much saying, hey, you know what? Tony, he has the right to kind of do this. They don't want people lashing out freely at NASCAR, but we are going to pay his fine. What does that say to NASCAR, Matt?
It's a big-time statement. You know, to me, my immediate reaction is you know, NASCAR and the drivers and the owners, there's been a lot of unity over the past couple of years. I mean, keep in mind, we have the Race Team Alliance that led to the new charter system. The sanctioning body and drivers are meeting more regularly. But at the same time, there's also a bit of splintering, fracturing. For the longest time, this sport was ran with an iron fist by the France family, and NASCAR's say-so was the ultimate word. And I feel like as the sport changes or evolves, they don't have that ultimate control that they used to have, and drivers and teams are getting a lot more of it. So it's just a changing time as we try to balance this new era where everyone gets a say-so. And, you know, to me, my opinion, Kane, I don't think it's ever a good idea for NASCAR to silence opinions about safety. I don't think it's ever good to basically have a driver say, I don't feel safe, and the sanctioning body say, you're not allowed to say that, here's the fine. I think that's a bad message to send, and I think that's why ultimately the Drivers' Council responded the way they did, because you know, you don't dismiss matters of safety.
You're right, and if you look at the crowds last weekend at Bristol, that was a track that used to have a year, 2-year waiting list, and now you had more empty seats than full seats, which is a shame.
Yeah, you know, Kane, there's several things that I think you have to look at. One, I will say that even with Bristol being more empty than it's ever looked in a long time, that's still one of the biggest crowds that NASCAR gets over the course of the year. But it's still pitiful, because I feel like, to me, it's very obvious why this happened. The downturn in attendance directly correlates with them changing that track up in the summer of 2007, at first making it a 2-groove track, and then making it a 1-groove track around the top. People want traditional short track style racing out of Bristol, and fans have never been happy, no matter what the track does to change it. They've never been happy with the racing product there, and I think that's a reflection of what you see in the grandstands here twice a year. And until they try to bring back old Bristol some way, somehow, you're not going to see fans return to that place, because you know, there's two different opinions in NASCAR about Bristol. There's the opinion that what we had at Bristol was racing. It was racing the way it ought to be, was their slogan. And then you have the opinion, well, that wasn't racing, that was wrecking. And those were the people that changed the track. But I feel like more people want the pushing and shoving old school Bristol than those who want what we have now. And until we have that, fans aren't going to come back.
Well, and I agree with you. Matt, how do we keep track of you? Because it's going to be such a busy news weekend this weekend at Richmond. What's the best way to keep track of your stories?
Oh, it's going to be a crazy weekend. Oh, yeah. We're just now reaching the tip of the iceberg, I feel like, with the Drivers Union, NASCAR stuff.
Yep.
The best way to follow me is on Twitter, at Matt Weaver SBN, and on Facebook, look me up, Matt Weaver Motorsports on Facebook. That's my fan page. Give me a like.
Okay, who's going to win this weekend? Quick. I'm going with Stewart just because I'm an idiot, but I think he can do it.
Let's go with Matt Kenseth. He dominated here in the fall. I think he's going to go back-to-back.
I agree with you, Matt. Thanks a lot. It's going to be a great weekend of racing all over the place, from the school bus racing out there at Flemington tonight to all the stuff going on. You've got a lot of great racing opportunities. Remember, today, going on now, I'm heading out right now to Five Flag Speedway. I'm going to be one of two drivers with Greg Hutto Jr., the ARCA driver. We're driving around in the two-seater NASCAR cars today. I'll be in Greg Biffle's number 16 today. And then tomorrow at Mobile International Speedway, I'll be driving the Jimmy Johnson number 48. So I'm excited to be an instructor again with the Rusty Wallace Driving Experience. You go to RaceWithRusty.com. Still have 70% off for today and tomorrow. Check them out. Y'all have a blessed weekend. Enjoy it. Love you, Mom and Dad.